You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
I came here today with a word, not from myself, because that wouldn't be very good. That would be terrible. But I believe that I have a word from God for us today. Who believes that today? Who's ready for the word of God? Come on, it is going to be a great day today. And the title of my message is simple. Now, when I talk about simple and quite basic, sometimes we can overlook the simple things in life, the simple things that has to do with this walk, this journey that we have and we call life with God. And sometimes we can overlook the basics and just see them as mere little stepping stones, and which they are, but little things that we can overlook. But I think it's important and so powerful when we really lock in and deal with the basics of our life. Today I'm talking about something that is so basic, but is so powerful when we grasp it and grab a hold of it with everything that we have. Not just a little bit, but everything we have. And so the title of my message today is so simple, but so powerful. And it's this: all things are possible. Turn to your neighbor and say, all things. Oh, that's not the right neighbor though. Turn to another neighbor and say, all things. That's the right neighbor. Say, all things are possible. Nothing, turn to your neighbor and say, nothing is impossible. We have a song at Planet Shakers Church. It's an old song. Nothing is impossible. Anybody know that song? Oh, you know it. Ah. The words in it are amazing. We were singing this like, we sang it like 100 times in the past like 3 weeks because we did it on tour. And one of the lines is, through you, I can do all things. Blind eyes are opened. I actually forgot the words, if I'm being completely honest with you. How does it go? Do you, I can do anything. Yeah. I can do all things. Because it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open. Some of you don't know it, but it's okay. Strongholds are broken. Hey! I am living by. Nothing is impossible. All right, some of you knew it, but then you lifted your hand, but then you didn't want to sing it. But that's all right. Because you left me out here on my own. That's okay. I'm already in another city, so. Anyways, that made me feel really good about myself. But all things are possible. The Bible says this in Matthew 19, verse 26, in the New International Version, if you're following along. It says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Did it say, with God, some things are possible? No? Did it say, most things are possible? Did it say, 95% of things are possible? No, it said, all things are possible. That means all. That leaves out nothing. That means everything that you believe for is possible with God. Turn to your neighbor and say, all things are possible. But there's this key ingredient that you and I need to have, and it's called faith. Everybody say faith. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11 verse 1, and you've probably heard this so many times, but I'm going to tell you again. And it says this: now faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith, what it does is it comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Another verse in the Bible says anything, everybody say anything. Anything is possible for them that what? Believe. So what faith is, you and I know this, we've heard it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, but faith is not just wishful thinking. Faith is not by chance or by happenstance. You know, when people say things like this to me, good luck. I don't believe in luck. I believe in God. People are like, yeah, go and, yeah, you know, whatever. They're like, my thoughts are with you. No, God is with me. Even though that's a nice gesture. But I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in happenstance. I don't believe in chance. God is the God of the impossible. So it's not wishful thinking. It's not believing by that things and miracles happen by chance, or limbs that are growing back with a miracle taking place, cancer getting out of someone's body. That's not by happenstance. That's not by chance that happens. It's God. Faith is trusting, believing, and knowing, like absolutely 100% knowing, trusting, believing that nothing is impossible for God. My question today is this. It's very simple. It's do you have enough faith? Do you have faith that the desire to see things and miracles take place in your life? Do you have faith that desires to grow more in your faith with God? One of these quotes I saw, last week or the week before, was an amazing quote, and I think it depicts all of humanity and particularly Christians right now. And it's this: people have enough faith of God to not be sick, but don't have enough faith of God to actually heal the sick. So, in other words, you and I can live with this mindset, this perspective that enough is good enough. Do you know that, like, in life, we go through circumstances, we go through challenges, we go through ups and we go through downs. And what happens in those challenges, it often what it does is it takes away and it tries to strip at, poke at, and tries to create blockages and things that hold us back. That's why it's so important to look at the foundations and the simple things that we believe in, because if we don't continue to check on and grow in and develop the foundations, what's going to happen is 10 years from now, crumbling down. 5 years from now, crumbling down. You might be on fire, but if the foundations that you've built on aren't strong, then you're in trouble. So you might be here today and you're like, I've got enough faith to not be sick, but not enough faith that when I lay my hands on somebody that has cancer and to believe that person's going to be healed instantly. See, we live with an enough mentality. Like enough, I'm good with just enough. Did you know that no matter how long you've been saved for, no matter how long you've been coming to church, there is actually always more. There is so much more that you can't even comprehend. There was an amazing man, Pastor Paul Weaver, that's his name. He was here at our Fearless Co-Conference. He's like, I've read the Bible. He's a great man of God. He's a general here in the UK and AOG. And he's like, I've seen things. I've read the word. But last week I read and I've been studying this specific scripture that I have never read in my whole entire life. And seen it the way I've seen it my whole entire life. In other words, you can never have enough. Because there is always what? There is always what? There is more for you today. There is miracles for you today. There is breakthrough today. There is more of His presence for you today. Turn to your neighbor and just nudge them a little bit gently though. Say, there is more. There's some ladies here, thank you. She almost fell over. Praise the Lord. But we need to have this desire to have more faith, to grow our faith. You say, how do I grow my faith? Well, you know, because you've probably heard it if you've been to church. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. When you hear the word of God, your faith grows. When you hear the word of God, your faith expands. You begin to see things in a different way. See, the Bible tells us like this in Colossians 3:16. I love the word of God because this right here, it's so powerful when we hear the word of God, but not just hear it, we have it in us. Before I read this, my question is this: do you have the word in you enough of the word to come out of you? Do you have the word of God in you that whoever believes will receive? Do you have enough of the word of God in you that nothing is impossible for God, that it actually just comes out on the outside? Like when you lay hands on someone, because it's in you, it'll go out of you. When it's in you and dwells in you. See, the word of God is so powerful, but we need the word to not just be a thing that we hear. We need it to dwell on the inside of us day and night, night and day, dwelling and meditating on the word of God. Me and my wife recently, probably this year, have just dove all the way into his word. Every Monday, because that's our days off from church, we have Monday off. And when I put my two children to sleep, we put them to bed at around 12, 1, whatever it is. She's the boss. She knows what she's doing. I'm just there to wrestle and have fun. Come on, dads. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Shout out to all the mums. You're the superheroes anyways. We love you. But I just had this desire that it wasn't just enough to hear it. I had to have it here. Like I had to truly believe it, like imprinted on my heart, my lips, my mind, my everything. Yeah. And so me and my wife, we decided, I said, love, I want to get in the word. When they go, as soon as we put them to sleep on a Monday, every single Monday, and I read the word every single day, but this was a specific time that I felt the Lord tell us to get in the word. Study the word, go over scripture together, listen to sermons for those 2 hours that those boys are asleep. And every Monday we've been having the word in us, we've been hearing it, but it's been in us. And then because it's been in us, it's been coming out of us. Because it's been in us, it's been coming out of us. Miracles are taking place. Things are happening in our lives. But I don't want it to just be a thing that I hear and it just goes over my head. I want it to dwell in me. See, the Bible says, let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you. What's a home? It's somewhere that you relax, that you are invited into a home as a safe place, as a place of your own time. See, the word of God should dwell in us like a home. Dwelling in your heart and mind. Permeating. In other words, covering. Spreading every aspect of your being as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. See, what the ability, what hearing and having the word in us gives us the ability to do, it gives us the ability to declare and see things like God would see them. See, so many times in our lives, we see things so much from a natural perspective. We see things that as a human would, as a problem is right on in front of us, like cancer's right there. We see cancer, we see death, we see how long they have to live. We see the natural things on the natural eye. But when we have the word in us, we have the ability to speak as if it was already done. We have the ability to speak as if it wasn't there, but it will be there. That's why, you know, people call it the name it and claim it kind of preachers. You name it and you will have it. That's what happens when the word of God is on the inside of you. When it dwells within you, you have the ability, the faith that the word of God, when you hear it and you have it in you, it just comes out. And you will have what you say. Now, I learned this quite early on when I started dating my wife. My wife is an amazing woman. She's obviously watching online. She preached today at church. And I came into a really amazing family. Anybody know Pastor Russell and Pastor Sam? Yeah, they're amazing. And I came into a pretty amazing family, and I didn't come from the greatest kind of background. And so it was very foreign coming into a family that actually like talks to each other. Some of you don't get that, all right. I came into a family that actually like communicates and like talks about their feelings and like encourages each other and like loves on each other. So that was a foreign thing to me. I didn't understand it. And so I found it quite difficult to receive kind of gifts and love and all those kinds of things, because in our family, they would go around and on birthdays and they'll tell you how much they love you and how much, you know, whatever. And they'll tell you all these nice things. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, what are you doing? Well, this is so strange to me. It's a foreign thing. Anyways, we would have these kinds of challenges that I came into. And I remember thinking, like, my mother-in-law and father-in-law have done such great things for God. They're literally shaking the planet. They are doing such amazing things for God. My wife comes from a great has great spiritual inheritance. My brother-in-law has great spiritual inheritance. But then I realized something that I actually needed for myself to be able to dig my own well of faith. I realized as a person coming into this family that I actually couldn't just ride off of the coattails of their faith. Like, we can't be a people that rides off of the coattail off of one Sunday thinking that that's going to last you from Monday to Saturday. We have to dig our own wells. Like, I've got to dig my own wells of faith, because I've got to believe. I can't believe what they say. I can believe what they say, but I have to believe it in my heart, in the trust and the assurance that God will come through for me. See, this is what happens. We get to this place, enough will do. But we need to dig our own wells. And I look at this, there's a story, I've been talking about it all week, and amazing story of David and Goliath. And I look at this story, and they're in the camp. The Israelites are in the camp, and the Israelites are questioning. Everyone in the camp was full of fear. You know what the number one thing to kill your faith is? Fear. It truly is. Fear is so many different things. It's just masked as a different word. Anxiety is fear. It's true. Insecurity is fear. Pride is fear. Control is fear. It's all fear. Because you're afraid to lose control of your own life. You're afraid with pride. You're afraid to let everybody see what's actually happening on the inside. See, it's masked. So fear is the killer to your faith. And I look at this story because there is fear throughout the whole entire camp. They're murmuring. I said it in the last service. But they're all asking these questions. The five questions: who, what, where, when, how, why. Probably six questions. They're asking, who is this giant? Where did he come from? What's going to happen to us? How are we going to make it out of this? Why is this happening to us? Don't you think that's sometimes what we do? Like, when a challenge is in front of us, we're not too dissimilar. We're pretty similar. Because we ask the five questions. Why is this happening in my life? When am I going to come out of this? What's going on? How is this happening? I don't even know what else I said. But you know, we ask the five, six questions all the time when a challenge, when our finances aren't going well, when our kids are misbehaving, when things are going on in our lives, when the economy is going crazy and all these things and the bills got to be. We ask the five questions. How, who, what, where, when, why. But then I look at David this was just different. Because he had a completely different perspective. Everybody say perspective. It says in 1 Samuel 17 verse 26, it says this. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace of his taunting from Israel? This is what David asked. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he has taunted and defied the armies of God? Do you understand what just happened right there? He had a different perspective. He asked the right questions. Some of you didn't follow that. He didn't ask who, what, where, when, why. Why is this happening? Who's going to do this? How is this happening? Why? When are we going to die? He asked, who is this? What do you think you're going to do to me and the God of heaven's armies? Why do you think you can taunt and make fun of the God of the universe? See, the questions were different because the perspective was different. It was different. So that says something to me. It's actually all about perspective. See, we see things in a natural way. Our finances, our children, our careers, we see it in a natural way. We see our problems in a natural way. I said it before, but what if it wasn't your problems that needed to change? What if it wasn't your circumstances that needed to change? What if it was just your perspective? Just deep that for a second. Just think about it. What if it wasn't your problems that needed to change? Even though they probably do need to change, what if it was just your perspective on those problems? Did you know that when you truly believe and have the word dwelling on the inside of you, your perspective changes to circumstances? Your perspective changes to relationships, to finances, to friendships, to different things, your career, your family. It all changes when you see it how God sees it. See, we see death, but God sees life. We see dead bones, but God says they're coming alive. We see impossible situations, but all things are possible for God. We see a miracle needing to take place. We see cancer, we see sickness, but God sees healing. What's your perspective like today? Are you seeing it how God sees it? Or are you seeing it like the Israelites did? See, we need to have the perspective of God, because with him, nothing is impossible. This is what I believe, and I'll quickly say this, but I believe David had this perspective, and there's three points here that I feel like God has shown me the perspective of David. David understood this. First point is God is big. He's bigger than the giants you face. He's bigger than your circumstances. He's bigger than whatever you face in your life. He's bigger than your finances. He's bigger than your children. He's bigger than your family. He's bigger than that sickness. He's greater than whatever it is that you ever go through. I got the scripture to back it up. In Psalms 147 verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. He has no limit and is not bound by human limit. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords, the great and mighty and the awesome God. God is above all powers and all authorities. God is big. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is big. In Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? This is a clear statement that no enemy, no obstacle can stand if God is on your side. 1 John 4 verse 4, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. God's spirit is bigger. God's spirit is greater than any force in the world. Philippians 4:13, I can do what? I can do what? Through Christ who strengthens me. God is big. Second one, I'll quickly do this. God is permanent. God is everlasting. God is eternal. This is the perspective that David had. God is big, but God is permanent. Your circumstances are not permanent. Your challenges are not permanent. Your trials are not permanent. How do I know this? The Bible says this. Isaiah 40 verse 8, it says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God. So what could happen in us? In here. The grass withers. Challenges wither. Circumstances wither. The flowers, they fade as well. But the word of our God stands forever. It's everlasting. It's never changing. Everything else is momentary. Battles, trials, challenges all come and go. But God is permanent. And His word and His promises are never ending, and they are eternal. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is permanent. Tell him again. That turn to the right neighbor, say, God is permanent. And the last point, we got to quickly move and we're going to worship. It's going to be a powerful time. Third point is this. It's really simple, like I said today. God is big, God is permanent, but God is good. I'll say it in. God is good. I'll say it one more time for the people up the back. God is good. And all the time. Do you believe that today? I'll help you believe that. There's the word, because I want it to dwell in me and in us. Psalms 34 verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is. Taste and see that the Lord is. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Psalms 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good. So, do you believe it? If you believe it, then say it like you believe it. For the Lord is good. I'm not just talking about the front row though. I'm not talking about the ones that are just facing nothing and have a really good life. The Lord is what?
Good.
He's good all the time, and all the time God is good. Have that in you. Nahum and 1 verse 7, the Lord is what?
Good.
A refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. Psalms 145 verse 9, the Lord is what?
Good.
Say it again, the Lord is what?
Good.
Say it like you believe it, the Lord is what? So all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. God is good. So it's not your challenge that needs to change, although God can change that. Maybe it's just your perspective. Today I want to take our eyes off of what we're facing. And I want to fix our eyes on the one who can change what we're facing. He's big. He's powerful. He is strong. He is mighty. Do you believe that today, Audacious Church? I said, do you believe that today? Come on, if you believe that, I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to give God a clap offering right now. Like He's big. Like He's strong, like He's mighty, like He's powerful, like He's good, and good all of the time.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.